Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Aleph. But we're holding, I think, a little bit before, and we were still learning about Chametferia, correct? So we had been medayik three specific things that we learned out from the fact that Rebbe had told him the way that he's supposed to make sure that he takes the shemen and he puts it into a kli sheni and so on and so forth. And then we got into the question of whether you're allowed to speak in Hebrew in a bathhouse. And then we got into the question of whether you're allowed to say divrei Torah, even if it's in English in a bathhouse. And it turned out, lafrushe misura, it's mutter, not just to say no, because that could be misunderstood as meaning I'm not interested or whatever, but to actually explain what the issue is. I see the Gabbai is with us, but the Rebbe seems to be hiding. This Gabbai's got a lot of work to do. Okay. So we're up to Omer Ravina. So we spoke about three things, Shema Minot Talas, but Ravina actually adds another thing. Because Ravina says, you see from here, that HaMevashel B'Chamei Tveria B'Shabbat Chayav. Since Rebbe, let's figure out when this took place, because HaMaisa the Rebbe La'achar Gzeira Havet. The Maisa with Rebbe here has got to be towards the end of Rebbe's life. And at that point, we know for sure that the Gzeira had already been in effect, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was the one who described the Gezeira. And over here, we were talking about Rabbi Yitzchok bar Vadimi. Rabbi Yitzchok bar Vadimi only became a Talmud towards the end of Rabbi's life, in which case it for sure took place in only one location. It must have been when Rabbi was in Tveria, and it took place in Chamei Tveria, because otherwise it wouldn't have been mutter for Rebbe to have gone in to take this bath on Shabbos. By the way, it's not clear, because there is a machlokus about how we came out in the end about Chamei Tveria vis-a-vis Shvitz. There's a machlokus when we were matir Chamei Tveria, were we only matir Chamei Tveria for bathing in? Or once we were matir Chamei Tveria, it wouldn't matter to even go into Chamei Tveria just to take a sauna, basically, a wet sauna. So, I mean, it's not clear over here. It could be that Rebbe went in specifically to take a bath. Maybe that's what it's talking about. But in any event, look, the bottom line is that Rebbe told him, you better not put it into Chamei Tveria, put it into a kli sheni, v'tein. So apparently Rebbe held that you can't even use Chamei Tveria for cooking. Now, remember, we had a machlokas before, whether Chamei Tveria was considered to be nuclear heat or whether it's considered to be chemical heat. And if we were going, what Ravina seems to be saying is that since Rebbe told him, be very careful, it must be that it was usher, and that he held that it's considered to be Chamei Ha'ur. Is that true, though? Amar Rav Chista, Amavashu b'Chamei Tveria b'Shabbos Potter. Actually, we see halacha l'maisa, the Rav Chista paskin, that it's not considered to be Chamei Ha'ur. It's considered to be the equivalent of the Chamei of the Chama, in which case it's nuclear heat. So how could Ravina say that? First of all, I mean, think about it. I mean, how would Ravina know that it means the Oraisa anyway? And so when he said that you're chayev, he might have meant you're chayev midrabbanan. And my chayev nami dekamar makat mardut. If you don't want to listen to the takon of rabbanan, so you're chayev, but he meant you're chayev on a drabbanan. I mean, how would he know anyway that Rebbe meant it midiraisa? He has insufficient data for that. Amar Rebbe Zera, now this brings up another issue, which is the issue of swimming. Now, we never spoke about swimming. We spoke about the question of bathing, and we spoke about the question of saunas and sweating. Here, for the first time, we meet up with the Gezerah against swimming. The reason that there was a Gezerah against swimming was because very often if people go swimming in the ocean or they go swimming in a river, then they're very careful to make sure that they take some kind of flotation device with them or something that can save them in the event that they get pulled away. And doing that may very well lead them to being over a Melacha on Shabbos, whatever it is they're going to make as something that's going to save them. And because of that, we made a gezera of tikkun mane, because we're afraid that Shema yitaken klishayit may make something. So Rabbi Zera says, I saw Rabbi Abo, and he was floating in a pool, an in-ground pool. And he was moving his hands as if he was swimming. Now, I'm not sure whether he was really swimming and that he had taken his feet off of the bottom, or maybe he was just moving around by moving his hands, but he was still standing on the bottom. So lo yadana iakari lo akar. I don't know whether he had lifted his feet off of the bottom. He says, well, what do you mean you don't know? Obviously he didn't. Pshita de lo akar, de tanya, lo yashut adam bebrecha mele amayim. It says you cannot swim on Shabbos in a pool that's full of water, even if it's in your backyard. So why does it even if it's backyard? Because like this, you could say there would be a shaila that if you're in Rosh Hasharab, I mean, you're a public swimming pool, so then it's very likely that you're going to end up splashing water out of the pool into Rosh Hasharab, so you'll be over on Hotsa on Shabbos. That's understandable. But what would be the problem of swimming in a pool in your own backyard? And yet, since we say over here that it's usser, so apparently it means that the gezeira about swimming is chal even on something that is a pool that is man-made in your backyard. Says the Gemara, no, but that's not a problem, because I'm still not sure. Rabbi Zera was not sure. Why? Because just because it says over here that you're not allowed to swim in a pool, that might be talking about you're not allowed to swim in a pool that does not have properly constructed walls. In other words, what you have is basically you just have a hole in the ground that's filled with water, and a hole in the ground filled with water is a problem. And there's two reasons to view it as a problem. One is that, and Rashi brings actually both pshatim. One is that it is basically a miniature lake, and therefore people will not be able to make that distinction between a swimming pool and a lake. So even though it's absurd to say that if somebody has a swimming pool, we should make a gezeira that they may end up making some kind of flotation device, because it's just a pool. They're not scared of getting pulled away. But nonetheless, since people will not be able to make that distinction, we make one gezeira that anything that is similar to a lake, no matter what size it is usher on Shabbos, and that way we don't have the problem. The other reason that Rashi brings, and both of these are nogeya lahalacha, is that where you have a wall to a pool, then there is no problem of your getting close to the edge and actually making some hole in the mud as you come out, which would be making a guma on Shabbos. So over there, you've got an edge, and there's basically no gezeira. What's the problem? There's no problem of splashing, and there's no problem of shema yitaken, and there's no problem of maybe you'll be making some type of gumais in the mud when there is no mud, because you have a real pool. So that would be the difference. If it has a proper rim around it, and it's got nice tiling around it, so then fine, then it's not a problem. And therefore, Rabbi Zera was saying, I'm not sure, because that's where he was. And I can't be made that he actually lifted his feet up. I mean, it looked like he was swimming, and it makes sense that he was swimming, but I don't know. And the case where we're talking about Rabbi Avu, where he was swimming, it was talking about that it had a nice edge to it with tiles and so on. And maybe over there, he's saying maybe he was swimming on Shabbos. And in fact, Mikra Din, of course, it's mutter, although the minhag has become not to swim at all on Shabbos in most places, But there was no gezeira against swimming in a properly constructed pool. Another thing that Rebbe Zera said is that I saw Rebbe Abohu that when he was in a river that he was swimming in, when he came out, he was covering over his genitals. He put his hands, keneged panav shalmata, and I'm not sure whether he actually touched himself or whether he didn't, or whether he just covered himself. What do you mean you're not sure? It's the same problem we had before. Of course he didn't touch himself. Didn't we have back in the Sugya in Nida that you are not allowed to touch your genitals because you may stimulate yourself? And kolo ches ba'ama umashtin kilo mevima bula olam. Over there we're talking about urinating. But to hold yourself while you're urinating may end up being self-stimulating. And therefore you're going to be over on the same chet as in the Dor HaMabul. So how could you say, I'm not sure if he touched himself? Of course he didn't. Omer Abaye, yeah, but remember that they made a difference. First of all, as Tosis points out, really, we end up that it isn't necessarily us, but we're saying, why would he be covering himself in that way? Omer Abaye, in this case, they treated it as the same halacha that we had in the case of a boleshet. A boleshet is a bunch of soldiers that are coming in and they're in a city. And the question over there is, when they go into people's homes and they're invaders, are we have to be choshesh that maybe if there was wine in the house, or then if it's open, then they were certainly going to be menaseh. So the din is like this. If it was bishat shalom and there was no other army that was fighting them, and they're just basically coming in and terrorizing the Jews. So then, chaviyot petuchot asurot, any barrel that was open is for sure was touched by them, and they took the wine and they were menaseh. But stumot, I mean, clearly if it's sealed, then it hadn't been opened. Bishat milchama, but if they're coming in and they're shooting while they're coming in and they're being shot at, then it's mutter. Lafisha ain't pnai l'nasech. There's no time for that kind of stuff during a war. He's not going to sit there and start taking wine to be menaseh. So what do you see from there? That you can rely on the fact that people are scared. Kiva de be'iti, lo menaseh. They're not going to do what they would normally do. So achanami, in the case of Rabbi Avu, kiva de be'it, since he's nervous, he's not going to come to stimulate himself. And therefore, we don't have to worry. So maybe he did touch himself. I don't know, but I didn't see clearly, says Rabbi Zera. What do you mean? What's there to be scared about? All he's doing is coming out of the river. Might be a tuta. What's there to be scared of? Well, I mean, when you're in a river and you're nervous about maybe drowning, so there's be tuta de nahara. You know, you want to get onto dry land. Wait a minute, but I thought there's another problem. I thought you're not allowed to cover your genitals because it looks like you're embarrassed. And Amar Rabav, Amar Ravun Amar Rav, Kol HaMiniach Yadav Panav, Keneged Panav Shamata, anybody who covers his genitals, it looks like he's embarrassed and he's Kofer B'Brito Shel Avram Avinu. What's the problem? You don't want people to know that you're Mahul? No, Lokasha, it depends what direction you're facing. If you're going down kinochit, so if you're going down to the river, okay, so there's a few people notice you, whatever. So there, it really looks a little bit overdone to be covering your genitals unless you're trying not to be recognized as having a brit milah. And therefore, it's usur. But to come out where there's 500 people looking at you and so on, so then it's just sanua kisolik, that over there you're facing the rabbi, so then it's not so bad to cover your genitals. Ki oda Rava shachi, you see, Rava used to bend over when he was walking out of a river. If he bent over, it would make his genitals less obvious. Rabbi Zera, on the other hand, he would go out of his way to stand up straight to make it clear that I'm a Ben Bris and I'm proud of it. And Rabbanan Devei Ravashi basically took both approaches. So in other words, when they were going into the river, they would bedafka be zakuf, and kisalke, when they were coming up, they would bend over to be tzanua. Rabbi Zera, now, once we're talking about Rabbi Zera, and we're talking about taking baths, so there was another fascinating story, because Rabbi Zera wanted to make aliyah. Now, his Rosh Hashiva was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda did not hold of making aliyah. We had this problem in Ner Yisrael, because the Rosh Hashiva, my grandfather, didn't want anybody to go to Eretz Yisrael. So anybody would want to go to Eretz Yisrael managed to avoid seeing him like for a month before, so that he wouldn't catch wind of the project and aser it on him. So Rabbi Yehuda used to aser people from going to Eretz Yisrael, because Domer of Yehuda kolo lemi bavel Eretz Yisrael. If somebody leaves Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael, he's over on a mitzvah saseh. Why? Because it says bavela yavou v'shama yihiyu, that you have to stay in Bavel as part of the golus, to be makabel on yourself. The golus, same type of issue that we found in Mitzrayim Gufa, that the everybody had to accept. This is one of the things that Yosef HaTzadik had been mashbiya the Achim. You've got to stay here until it's time for the geula. So anyway, he, for sure, Rabbi Zera was committed to going. And, okay, what exactly his svara was, why it was mutter to ignore Rabbi Yehuda. There's a lot of discussion about this, with the Bavela Yavoh V'Shama Yu as a din of an actual Isser, since it's mentioned in the Navi and it's not mentioned in the Torah. So it is, has a din of a Chiyav Derabbanan. Okay, so he argued about it. In any event, he didn't want to go without hearing a last halakha from Rabbi Yehuda. So Amar, he said, look, you know what, let me go, and I'll listen to, like, the drush. I'll hear one thing from Rabbi Yehuda, and then I'll leave. So I'll stay out of the way, you know? So Eizav Eshma Mine Milsa, V'iti V'esak. So Ozel Ashka Tekoi Beibani, he finds Rabbi Yehuda sitting in the bathtub, and he overhears him saying to the people that were taking care of him, Komer Le'Lashamei, go out and avioli neter, go bring me some neter to use as a soap, avioli masrek, and bring me a comb. And all you guys that are in the schwitz over here, open up your mouths wide so that you can be afika havla. You have to be able to exchange that moist heat that you've got. And v'ishtu mimaya de beibani, and drink some of the water that is heated over here. You're not allowed to drink water from the actual bath, by the way. So it obviously can't mean that, because that's a Gemara Chagiga Asers, for obvious reasons. But you are supposed to drink hot water. So in other words, if you're heated from the outside, you should make sure that your inner temperature is also raised, not just your outer temperature. So what in the world is going on over here? I mean, the fact that he said, bring me a little bit of soap, bring me a comb, I mean, that he said, okay, so there I understand that we said before, because that's not Torah, that's Dvarim Shochol, and you're allowed to speak Dvarim Shochol even if you're going to be using Lashon HaKodesh. And the part about open up your mouth and exchange the heat, that is also Dharma Shmuel Havla Mafik Havla. So, okay, that's something that he wanted them to do, because, I mean, it's not that he's teaching them Torah, he's teaching them a medical thing, that inhaling steam helps with the exchange of your own sweat and so on. But what would be the benefit of drinking hot water? Why is that important? Tanya, achal v'lo shata, somebody who eats and doesn't drink, it's like he's killing himself. Achilato dam. And that's the beginning of real serious digestive problems. Achilat choli me'ayim. Achal v'lo halach arba amot. Somebody who eats, this is the famous raya for Trias HaNesim, is that people eat cholent and then they go directly to bed. And everybody knows the likelihood of you're waking up after that. The fact that you wake up is a clear riot to Trias HaMesim, say the Chassidim. So anyway, if you eat and you don't walk at least Arba Amos, I mean, if your bedroom is too close, so then you're dead. Achilatomera kevet. She's going to rot inside of you. And that's the beginning of reach ra. That's the beginning of having really bad breath, is dangerous cholent breath. That's called dragon breath. Hanitzrach lenekovav v'achal. Somebody, if you needed to go to the bathroom and you ate and you didn't, dome letanur shesiku agabei efrot. It's like heating an oven, leaving in all the old ashes there, which is ridiculous. V'zeo techilat reach zuama. That starts your whole body smelling from sweat and so on. Rachatz pechamin. But here's the part that's important to us. If you took a bath in hot water and you didn't drink from hot water, so then you're similar to a tanur shisiku mibachutz. It's like heating your tanur on the outside, which is ridiculous because the whole point of the tanur is it needs to be heated inside. Velo yisiku mibifnim. So it's important that you also get yourself warm inside and out. Rachatz pechamin velo nishtateh betzonein. If you took a bath in hot water and you didn't wash off with cold water like the Rambam brings, that's the only way to take a good shower, then domele barzel shichnisu l'ur v'lo echnisu l'tzonein. You know what you're like? You're like some metal that you put into the fire to be able to go ahead and make it strong by what's the word again? I forgot.
To temper it.
Thank you. You put it into the heat to temper it, and you never put it into the cold water, which means you didn't accomplish a thing. Now, this is another one of these crazy stories in which the agav mentioning of this point is the center issue of the Gemara that's coming up, which is about tempering. But anyway, we'll see. So it's similar to a guy that put the metal into the heat, but he forgot to put it into the cold water. And if you took a bath and you didn't put oil on yourself, so then you're like putting water on the outside of a barrel because it doesn't really penetrate your skin. And because of this, anyway, we see why it's a good idea to drink hot water if you're taking a hot bath. And now it's time for Richie.
And drinking hot water.
Ah, beautiful. Muliyar hagaruf. So, if you have a muliyar, so muliyar is basically this big container of water, and then it's got a place to put coals, and those coals keep it hot. And now you took out garuf, you took out the coals before Shabbos, and the question is, can you drink the water that stays warm and it's going to keep the heat in it? So because it's a nice metal container, it's going to keep the water warm for a long time. So you're allowed to drink from this on Shabbos. But if you didn't take out the coals, so then we have a problem. According to Rashi, our problem is, again, Rashi does the same thing that he did earlier, and he says that the issue is because it's Mosif Hevel. Now, as Tosfos argued with Rashi before, so too does Tosfos argue over here. And he says that it has nothing to do with Mosif Hevel, because obviously, as he brought a raya earlier, if you're leaving something on a kira, it's going to be mosif hevel, and nonetheless, groof of a katuma is not considered to be a problem. And so that should be mutter over here to use your muliar, even if you had left the water in there with the coals. And so the idea over here, therefore, says the Rabbeinu Porat in the Tosfos, is that it does not have anything to do with the question of whether you could use this hot water. Of course you can use the hot water, my God. If you couldn't, none of us would be able to use our hot water kettle on Shabbos, you know, the mecham, we wouldn't be able to use. It's because of this Rabbeinu Porat that the only question that the Gemara is talking about over here is whether you are allowed to use shoti ne'emenu b'Shabbat, means are you allowed to pour this water into your wine? That's the question. So if the muliar was garuf, it's a question of how hot the water would be. So the water by the time of the suda isn't all that hot. And because of that, you could pour it into the wine on Shabbos. Masha Einkein, as we're going to see, the next case of the antiki over there, you're not allowed to pour it into the wine because it can actually cook the wine because it's extremely hot. And therefore, we were gozer on it because of Bishul. But it has nothing to do with Mosif Hevel. And again, Rashi is a yochid in that Mosif Hevel, his approach to the Mosif Hevel. This is the second place that he's brought this din. Masha Inkein, when it comes to an antiki afa pishe grufa ein shoti neimena. The antiki holds its heat for longer, and because of that, again, according to Rashi, it would be Mosif Hevel, even if after you took the stuff out. And according to Tosfos, it's so hot that it can actually boil the wine even by the time of the Su'uda. And because of that, it's the question of whether it would be usable or not. Okay, so basically, I mean, it's a lot of discussion where what Rashi is really talking about. And I mean, there are suggestions, but they're tough suggestions. I mean, one suggestion, of course, is that we'd be talking about a case where it wasn't even cooked to Michael Ben Drusoy. In other words, it wasn't cooked one third of the way, even as water before, which would be a problem, even according to Hananya. But I mean, why Rashi would have assumed that and so on is a problem. Now, Gemara is going to get into the difference between a muliar and a antiki. So, echidami muliar hagaruf. So, what describe to me, please, the muliar, when we took out the coals on it, how is it made? Well, it's mayim bifnim v'gechalim mibachutz. So, the way that it's made is that you've got the mayim on the, some have a girsa, by the way, which is just the opposite, including the Rambam, that the mayim, the gecholim mibachutz, anyway, would mean that you have the way we have it, they have the mayim mibachutz, gecholim mibifnim, means that it's exposed to the air. That's the opposite of our girsa, and that inside of it, underneath, you've got these gechalim. By us, it's the opposite. The water is on the inside, and it's surrounded on the outside by the coals. And an antiki, however, Rabba Omar, is basically, it's a kira. It's like the kira, and it's like it has a place within the kira. So the kira, remember, usually has a place for two pots to put on the top. And over here, there's walls, very thick walls like the kira, and there's always a fire in it. And there's a wall between the side of the place where the hot water is kept and the rest of the kira, like we discussed a number of times with a kira that was a twin kira. So because of that, the wall in the middle becomes very hot, and therefore, again, according to Rashi, it's going to continue to be Mosif Hevel, and according to the Pshatim that Tosfos brings, it would be a problem of cooking the wine that it's mixed in. So that's a Bekiri. Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, it's a Beidudi. It basically has a pot, in one pot, which has room, which is very similar to the way we make a mecha. It has room on top for the water, and inside, where we would have the electrical unit, you put in the coals. And that keeps the entire pot very hot. Now, Mandi Amar Beidudi, if you're going to say that antiki is a double pot, which keeps it very hot, and Kol Shekein a Bekiri is even hotter because that wall is used all the time, all week long. Gumandi Amar Bekiri, he would say that a Beidudi doesn't necessarily heat that much more than a Muliar. Anyway, Tanya Kavase de Rav Nachman, But there seems to be a braita that explains things the way Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak did, and that it's a beit duty, because it says antiki afa pishegrufa veketuma ein shotin mimena mipnei shenechushta mechamamta. Rashi understands nechushta means its own bottom. The nechoshet doesn't necessarily mean copper, it means bottoms. And since over here the bottom is directly on the coals, when, and that goes according to Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, so you see, apparently, that it is just like Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak described it. And now it's time for a further word from Sir Richard.
I'm putting in overtime here. What's happening? Zook de
Helika. Great. Hamecham Shepino. So you've got this big samovar, and now it seems to be saying, we're going to discuss what it means a little bit later, but it was definitely, it's mashman, it's two possibilities over here, that you took it off of the fire, pinuhu means you took it off of the stove, or pinuhu could mean that you took everything out of it, and there was no water in it. We're going to see what exactly it means. Lo yitein letochot sonein b'shvil she'yechamu. You're not allowed to put in cold water in it to make it hot. Aval notenu letocho o letoch hakos kidei lahafshiran. But you could put cold water into this becham or into a cup of hot water in order that it should become slightly warmer. So in other words, if we've got, what we have over here is a kli rishon, because this becham was heated directly on the fire. And then the coast that we're talking about, that would be a kli sheni. And a kli sheni is not considered to be able to cook. So what we seem to be saying over here is don't put in water into a mecham that is not on the fire, because the mecham itself is a kli rishon and that can cook. So in the mela, you cannot add water to it. But if you just want to warm it instead of cook it, then you're allowed to. And the same thing would be, we'll see what that means. And the same thing would be true about a cup, because a cup is a kli sheni. So over here, it seems that it wouldn't matter whether it necessarily is only kidei lahafshiran, which we have to see. So as the Gemara, I mean, it's very opaque. What exactly is the Mishnah talking about? What do you mean, a mecham shepinuhu? Because it could mean two different things. Omer avada bar masa, achikam. What it's saying is like this. The mecham that you cleared out, not that you took it off of the fire, shepinuhu, you took out everything from it. So the point over here is that we're going to be able to see the difference between actually boiling or warming it. So Omer of Ada Barmas, now what it's saying is, if I took out the Mayim Chamim out of the kettle, so that means I now have an empty hot kettle. Lo yitein letochan Mayim Muatim kedei sheyechamu. Don't put in a little bit of cold water into it, and that way it's going to get very hot. But you can put in a lot of cold water in order that it should just be warm. So since you've got just enough heat to really boil up or to make really hot a little bit of water, you can't put in a little bit of water, but you can put in a lot of water. That's how I understand it. So the problem over here is, but if I put in a lot of water, then I'm tempering it. And I thought, you're not allowed to temper it. So I told you it's fascinating how the Gemara managed to get in that little piece about tempering in the introduction of the Mishnah. But anyway, so isn't there a problem of being mitzarev on Shabbos? And that is considered to be makeh bepatish, because that's the thing that actually is koveya. There's a malacha that's called makeh bepatish, which is kedai for you to put into your list of munachim. Makeh bepatish means It's an abstract term, because the classic makeh bepatish is that you have that last thing that you need to do to make a clique complete is you tap it with a hammer wherever its final piece was. But what that means is, in abstract, is that anything that is done that completes the work is itself a malacha. The completion of a thing is a malacha. And since over here you would be actually hardening it in such a way that now it becomes tempered and best to use, that would be a malacha d'oraisa. So why would you say that you're allowed to put in a lot of cold water? You should not be allowed to. Answers the Gemara, the Mishnah is going aliba de Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon, remember, holds Dover Shenim is Kavin Mutter. That's why the Mishnah says, if your kavana is to warm up the water a little bit, so it shouldn't be so ice cold, then it's Mutter. But Enochinami, if your kavana was to be Mitzarev, then it's not Mutter. Ah, you'll say, but isn't it a Psik Resha over here? No. And there's a number of different approaches as to why it's not a Psik Resha. First of all, it may have already gone through this process so many times in which it had been used to cook up water and then they poured cold water in it to make another one. It may have been so tempered that you're not going to achieve anything by doing it. So that's one thing. And besides that, it's also possible that the level of heat that was achieved over here when the water was in it is not sufficient to actually cause it to be tempered, because it would only be tempered when it got really hot beyond boiling water, which is not very hot. So we don't know if it had reached that level of temperature. So therefore, we don't have a problem. Abaye did not like Ravada Bar Masna's pshat at all, because Abaye says, listen, the language is not mashma like you're saying, because it doesn't say, mecham shepina mimenu mayim katani. Does it say in the Mishnah, a mecham that you emptied it? No. It says, a mecham shepinahu, which is mashma that you took the kettle off of the gas, not that you emptied the kettle. It never means that, according to some Rishonim, when used that way. According to other Rishonim, if you meant it that way, you should have clarified. But the point is, the way it's stated makes no sense for us to define it the way you're defining it. Why don't we just take it in its most simple way of what the language would imply? And therefore, I say, Elam Arbaya, what it's telling me is that if you have a mecham that you took off of the gas, you didn't take out the hot water. It's full of hot water. Doesn't say anything about clearing it from its contents. Don't put in water that's cold, meaning just a little bit of water, because that water is going to get boiled up by the hot water in the mecham. But you can pour in a lot of cold water into it all at one time. So that way, you don't have to worry about the water being cooked, and all that will happen is you'll get like a warmish water, which is what you're trying to do. You don't want to drink very cold water. But that would imply that in the other case, or Maslik's case, that you actually had taken out the water, then since the Mishnah avoids discussing that, there you can't put in water at all, even if it's a lot of water and it's just going to get slightly warmed. You can't put in cold water. Why? Because then you would be tempering. And if you temper it, you'll be over on an Isser D'Oraisa. And then this would be going bedafka, not like Rabbi Shimon. It would be going like Rabbi Yehuda, who says the Dover Shenim Miskavin is Osir, in which case the implication of the Mishnah would be exactly the opposite of what you said. Omar Rav, this whole halacha about being allowed to put a lot of cold water into a big kettle is only where the point of your desire is to make it warm. But if you intended that you would actually do tempering, then of course it would be aser. Whereas according to Shmuel, even if you wanted it to be hardened, it would also be okay. What? You're not allowed to temper something. What do you mean, l'chatchila mishari? How in the world could Shmuel possibly be saying that you're actually allowed to do it? Because that's what it's mashma. It's mashma saying you could even have in mind to do it. But I mean, even I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. The only reason that it was mutter was because it's not a psik resha and you didn't have kavana to do it. So where in the world would Shmuel come to say that you could be take this empty kettle, pour cold water into it, and even if your intent was to temper to make it harder? Mishari, how could that be mutter? This must be a misquote of Shmuel. Ela'i itmar hachi itmar. The machlokas must have been like this. Omar Rav, lo shonu ela shi'ur la'afshir. Doesn't mean your kavana. It means that according to Rav, you're allowed to add the cold water, but only enough that it could be warmed slightly. But if you put in enough cold water that it's going to actually temper the mecham itself, that's aser. By the way, Rashi explains this to me not as a function of temperature, but as a function of where the cold water reaches. So he understands that the area that was above the water level is going to reach a temperature that is higher than the rest of the mecham. Because remember that the water is going to absorb all of the heat. Once it gets to 100 degrees, it's then going to convert that heat into steam. Masha Einkein, so it's going to keep cooling the area around it by simple laws of thermodynamics. Masha Einkein, the area above, which is not in contact with a coolant, which the water is, will continue to rise in temperature. And therefore, only that area is going to be hot enough to be tempered. So therefore, what Rav was saying is, make sure you don't put in enough water that it goes above the area that was very hot before, to the point where it can actually cool that, it goes over the top maybe, and then the whole thing will indeed be tempered. And that would be usur. So shiur letzarif is usur, where Shmuel says it doesn't matter. Even if it's a shiur letzarif, it would be mutter for the same reason that we said before. Because we cannot say that it's a psik resha, since we have no idea about whether it had already been as tempered as it could be, and we don't really have a reading on that temperature. So because of that, since it's an Eina Miskaven, according to Rabbi Shimon, it would be mutter, which appears to be saying that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon. So lamema the Shmuel Rabbi Shimon Sfirolai, so then is that what you're saying? That Rabbi Shimon, since according to him it's a Dovr Shein Miskaven, Shmuel is saying it's okay. But I don't think that's true. Because Shmuel said, now this is another very important halacha, and that is that no Isser Derabbanan was put into place on Shabbos where it can cause danger to the public. So because of that, if you're walking down the street and you see a gachelet shel matechet bereshut harabim, now a gachelet shel matechet would be, let's say there's a smithy that's working in the area, goy, and a piece of molten metal has landed outside of the store. And God help us, I mean, to touch that, or a kid that steps on that, oh my God, you're talking about some very serious damage. And the thing is that there is no isser in putting out that piece of molten metal because it's not actually on fire. So it has a tremendous amount of heat, it's red hot, but there's no Isser D'oraisa in being Mechabeh. So therefore, says Shmuel, you would be allowed to actually pour water over it, Bishvil Shelo Yizoku Barabim, in order that nobody gets hurt. But you cannot do that to a piece of burning wood, because that is an Isser D'oraisa, and you'll just have to sit there and tell everybody who's coming by, hey, kids, stay away, but you're not allowed to turn it off. So if you're going to tell me that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, why are you not allowed to put out a fire of a piece of wood? Now, what the Gemara is doing now is it's assuming that if you hold like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to the issue of the Dover She'eino Mitkaven, then you also hold of Rabbi Shimon when it comes to the issue of Malacha She'eino Tzricha Legufa. Why that's true is a very important sugya in Shabbos. What possible havamina is that just because someone holds something like Rabbi Shimon on a Dover She'eino Mitkaven, why would that imply that the approach to the concept of a malacha that allows you to view a Dover She'eino Mitkaven as a non-halacha, why does that imply that you would also subscribe to the view that the purpose of the malacha is also central to defining what the nature of a malacha is? Now, you see that on the simple reading, abstractly, they do not seem to be related. One is the focus on what your intent is vis-a-vis doing the malacha, and the other is the question of whether a malachas machsheves is defined by the Torah in terms of the way that it achieves a goal that is meant to be, according to Rashi, constructive, according to Tosfos, similar to the way that it is in the Mishkan. Now, the idea of, as we saw earlier when we were talking about the machlok, is about whether if you put out the fire back in Bamem Adlikin because you don't want the goy to see you, or you're putting it out because you want to save the oil or whatever, if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, you're putter, because it is a malacha she'eino tzricha legufa. You're not accomplishing anything with it unless your purpose is to make charcoal and you want charcoal for a braai. So then if you will put it out, then ein hachinam you'd be chayev. In which case, the iser of putting it out over here, even if it's burning wood, is not a d'oraisa. It's a d'rabbanan, which Rabbi Shimon agrees, ben rabbanan, you're not allowed to do malacha she'tzricha legufa. But over here, since it is dangerous and a kid might get burned on it, you should be allowed to put it out. So how come Shmuel said that I don't care about being mitzaref since it's you weren't mechavein, and he says I do care about your putting out a fire even though it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa? Both of them should be derabbanans and should be perfectly okay when it comes to the question of danger in a rishus harabim. So isn't there a problem here? Afilo shaleit tsnami, says the Gemara. No. When it comes to a dover she'eino mitkaven, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon. Why does that force you to think that b'malacha she'eino tzricha legufa, that he would also have to hold of Rabbi Shimon? In that, savala k'Rabbi Yehuda. For that, he does hold of Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, the implications of this psak, says Ravina, is hilkach. If you have something, let's say you've got a sharp thorn in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, somebody might step on it and get hurt. So you want to move it to the side, right? But you're not allowed to carry in Rishus HaRabim. It's a d'oraisa. So you are allowed in this case to move it pachot pachot mi'arba amot, even though normally the Rabbanon don't allow you to move things little by little and stop every time less than Arba Amos, but since that's only an issue d'rabbanan, and this thorn is a public nuisance, they allowed you to do it. And I would point out that in a Carmelite where the issue of tiltul of Arba Amos is entirely only d'rabbanan, over there you can always move it completely without even stopping and bring it to the side of the Carmelite.